Well, it's good to see all of you this morning, and I trust that you made your way to the building without any kind of difficulty, at least to any great extent. I'm encouraged by your presence. I hope that I'll say things this morning that, above everything else, will honor our great God and also be helpful to you. Last Sunday morning, I took you to the book of Nehemiah. And I reminded you that basically the book of Nehemiah is about two things. It's about the reconstruction of the walls of Jerusalem, and it's about the reconsecration of God's people. The drama that is portrayed in the book of Nehemiah occurs about 100 years after the remnant first returned to the land. I'm sure you know that Jeremiah had prophesied that because of Israel's sins, God would take them away into captivity, and that captivity would last for 70 years. Well, in 539 BC, the Persians conquered Babylon, and in the next year, Cyrus, the king of Persia, issued a decree allowing captive peoples, not just the Jews, but other captive peoples, to return to their homeland. And so a couple of years later, the first group returned under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua, and they immediately began work. They built the altar of the Lord, and they began to offer sacrifices. They laid the foundation for the temple. But then the enemies of God began to oppose their work, and work on the temple ceased for about 14 years. Due to the preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, they began work on the temple once again in 520, and that work was completed 4 years later. Several years later, a second group returned under the leadership of Ezra. But we're talking about the return of the third group in 445 BC, under the leadership of Nehemiah. And under his leadership, the walls of Jerusalem, which were torn down, gates burned with fire, under Nehemiah's leadership, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in 52 days. And I suggested to you last week that I believe that momentous task was accomplished because of two things. Because God's people had a leader like Nehemiah, and then secondly, because God's people had a mind to work. I really believe that if we are to build up the walls of spiritual Jerusalem today, they will be built up because of those same two things. Because we have leaders like Nehemiah, and because God's people have a mind to work. Let me quickly mention the things that we said last week about Nehemiah before we turn our attention to the second part of this equation. When you read the book of Nehemiah, you have to be impressed with the fact that when Nehemiah learned of the terrible plight of his countrymen, he experienced genuine sorrow for his people. He began to pray and he began to fast. But it didn't stop there. He also had a sense of personal responsibility to do what he could do to alleviate the problem. And then he took the initiative to do what needed to be done when he was given the opportunity by the king. You'll recall that the second chapter tells us that when he was going about his duties, the king of Persia noticed that he was sorrowful. In fact, he had never seen Nehemiah so sad. And he asked about that, and Nehemiah explained why. The king said, make a request. And Nehemiah shot up a prayer to the Lord, and then he made his request that he be allowed to return to his homeland to do what he could do to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah was willing to leave other work to do the work that needed to be done. As a cupbearer to the king, he did a whole lot more than just pour the wine. He did a whole lot more than just taste the wine to be sure that somebody hadn't poisoned it. He was an advisor to the king. He had important work to do, but he was willing to leave that work behind to do work that was even more important. And he did the work despite the difficulties. Imagine how difficult it would have been to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah. He had no bulldozers, he had no cranes, he had no excavators like we have today. It was a difficult task, and yet he didn't allow those difficulties to hinder him. If the walls of spiritual Jerusalem are to be built up today, we need leaders like Nehemiah. And Nehemiah led his people despite opposition from without. The enemies of God did everything that they could do to oppose the rebuilding of the city walls. And they tried various tactics, and we talked about that a little bit last week. And yet, despite all of that, Nehemiah led his people. But there were also problems from within. Some of God's people were charging their brethren usury, interest, which was in strict violation of God's law. Well, Nehemiah had to deal with that. He did, and God's people repented, and they took care of that problem. Nehemiah was also someone who was willing to sacrifice for the cause. If memory serves me correctly, he tells us that he fed 150 people at his table. His own servants worked on the walls. Perhaps the most important thing, no, there's no perhaps about it. The most important thing about the leadership of Nehemiah was that he was deeply reliant upon God. One of the prominent features in this book are the prayers of Nehemiah. Once again, brethren, if spiritual Jerusalem is to be built up today, we need leaders among God's people like Nehemiah. This church currently does not have men serving as elders, but there are leaders in this church. Every small group will have leaders. That's just the nature of small groups. There are leaders in this church. Are you leading like Nehemiah? Well, that's the first half of the equation. Now let's turn our attention to the second half, because you see, leaders can't do it all. The walls of ancient Jerusalem would not have been rebuilt were it not for the fact that there were workers among the people of God. If spiritual Jerusalem is to be built up today, we need workers like the remnant in the days of Nehemiah. We need workers who will decide to go to work. Notice that in Nehemiah chapter 2, the last part of the 17th verse reads that the people say, or Nehemiah said rather, "Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." What's the first thing that you have to do to accomplish any kind of work? What's the first thing you have to do? You have to decide to go to work, don't you? Are there things, chores, tasks that need to be done at your house? Lisa is giving Mark a look. You all forget I see everything. Are there chores and tasks around your house that need to be done that haven't been done because you haven't decided to do them? Right? Getting a job done begins with the decision to go to work, and without that decision, the work will not even begin, much less get done. And so the first thing I think we need to notice about the remnant that went to work in the days of Nehemiah is that, first of all, they decided to go to work. But have you ever made a decision to work on something that didn't get done? Has that ever happened at your house? Right? Getting work done begins with the decision to go to work, but then you have to set your hands to the task. And the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah, not only because the people said, "Let us rise up and build." Notice the last part of the 18th verse of Nehemiah chapter 2. It says, "Then they set their hands to this good work." Leaders like Nehemiah are absolutely essential. They are vitally important. But as I've already said, leaders can't do it all. And the work of the Lord will not get done if the leaders are the only ones working. Notice the pronouns that the people use. "Let us rise up and build." Someone has said, "It is better to lead 10 men in working than to try to do the work of 10 men." Common sense would tell us that that is so. If the walls of spiritual Jerusalem are to be built up today, we need Christians who are committed to do the work of the Lord. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2 that God created us to be his workmanship. Notice he says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2 that Christ gave himself for us, this is verse 14, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Do we really mean it when we sing the song, "I want to be a worker for the Lord"? Do we really mean it when we sing the song, "To the work, to the work"? Then in the third place, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah because many of God's people got involved. Nehemiah's call was not, "Watch me rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." It began with the invitation for personal participation. He said, "Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem." And the next chapter, Nehemiah chapter 3, records the names of no less than 40 individuals and at least 15 groups of people, like the priests, the Levites, the goldsmiths, the Tekoites, and others who got involved in the work. We read about the priests working in the first verse and the goldsmiths working in verses 8 and then 31, 32. The leaders working in verse 9, verse 12, verses 14 and following. Some of the women were involved in the work, we're told in verse 12. And the Nethinim, many other English translations translate that temple servants, they were involved in the work, according to verse 26. And the gatekeepers were involved, according to verse 29. And the merchants were involved in verses 30 and 31. The clear implication is that Nehemiah did his best to get everybody involved. Those who lived in the city of Jerusalem itself and those who lived in surrounding communities. And Nehemiah's success in rallying many, if not most, of God's people is worthy of our special notice. And then I am impressed by the fact that this text indicates that God was able to use all kinds of people. That means that God can use you to build up the walls of spiritual Jerusalem. A British humorist by the name of Jerome K. Jerome, that's interesting, Jerome, said, "I like work, it fascinates me, I can sit and look at it for hours." Unfortunately, that kind of an attitude has been shared by many people in our world in both ancient times and modern. But folks, when it comes to the work of the Lord, there's no place for spectators. No place for self-appointed advisors and critics. But there's always room for workers. Every Christian, every member of a local church needs to be involved in the work of the Lord. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Paul writes, "And he gave some, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." When I was a boy, I remember hearing gospel preachers cite this particular passage, and they would argue from it that it kind of reveals the three areas of local church work: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Maybe some of the older ones here this morning remember preachers saying that kind of thing. Well, I just don't think that's what Paul's talking about. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul is saying that he gave these various gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, so that they would equip the saints to go out and do the work of ministry. I mentioned in our first period this morning, as I talked with you about whether Christians should keep the Sabbath today, that part of what I was trying to do was to equip the saints. Every Christian, every member of the Lord's church needs to be involved in the work of the Lord. Dream with me for a moment. What could be done in this community if we marshaled this local church and the members of this local church as did Nehemiah in his own day? Do you remember what happened after the stoning of Stephen when Saul of Tarsus spearheaded persecution against the church of God in Jerusalem? Do you remember what happened? What did they do? Well, Luke says they were scattered abroad. But what does he say next? He says they went everywhere doing what? They went everywhere preaching the word. Why did they do that? Why did they go everywhere preaching the word? May I suggest to you that I believe they did that because that's what they'd been doing at home. That's what they'd been doing in Jerusalem. And why were those Christians who scattered? We're not talking about preachers here. We're certainly not talking about the apostles because they stayed in Jerusalem. Why did those Christians go everywhere preaching the word? I would suggest to you a couple of things. First of all, they were taught that they had the responsibility to do that. In keeping with their opportunities and their abilities, I don't want to ignore that. But then secondly, I would suggest to you that they did that because they had been equipped to do that. They had been taught and trained. Have you ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Have you ever had two young men in white shirts knock on your door and identify themselves as elders in the Mormon church? Has that ever happened? Why does that happen? I would submit to you that it happens for the same two reasons that the Christians, when they were scattered from Jerusalem, went everywhere preaching the word. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons knock on people's door because they believe they have a responsibility to share God's word as they understand it. And secondly, they've been trained, they've been taught, they've been equipped. Sadly, the fifth verse of Nehemiah chapter 3 tells us that there were some who did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. And so while Nehemiah was able to involve many, he wasn't able to involve everybody. If the walls of spiritual Jerusalem are to be built up today, we need many of God's people to get involved in His work. And then may I suggest to you that the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt because those who got involved worked together. Their working together is emphasized, I believe, by a number of phrases that Nehemiah uses in chapter 3. He uses the phrase "next to them" 9 times. He says, so-and-so was working, and next to them, these folks were working. He uses the phrase "next to him" 6 times. He uses the phrase "after him" once in verse 20. Now, they weren't all doing the same things. They didn't all work on the same part of the walls, but they all worked together. Verse 1 tells us that the priests built the sheep gate. And the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate in verse 3. And others made repairs in verse 4 and 5. And Jehoiada and Meshullam rebuilt the old gate, verse 6 tells us. And verse 7 tells us that others repaired the residence of the governor. They weren't all doing the same things. They weren't all working on the same part of the wall, but they were all working together. And if the walls of spiritual Jerusalem are to be built up today, we need Christians who will work together, doing what they can do with the abilities and the opportunities that they have.
In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul compares the Lord's church with the human body. And he says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." I think he's talking about the human body. He's reminding the Romans that we have eyes and they've got a job to do, and the ears have a job to do, and the hands and the feet, and all of the parts of the body have their work to do. But then he says in verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." He's saying that the body of Christ is like our human body. It's made up of many members, and these members have different work to do. And so he says in verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We all have different strengths and weaknesses. We all have different abilities and opportunities. Jesus wants us to use our varying abilities and opportunities to accomplish His work. But then may I suggest to you that the walls in Jerusalem were rebuilt in 52 days because God's people worked together with a sense of camaraderie. Churches don't always have that sense of camaraderie. Years ago, I heard a story about a church that needed to put a new roof on the church building, and they couldn't decide what kind of a roof. Part of the brethren wanted tin, and part of the brethren wanted shingles. And they discussed that and discussed it, and finally they decided they'd compromise, so they put tin on one half and shingles on the other, and all the tin people sat on the tin side, and all the shingle people sat on the shingle side. Now, I don't know if that story's true or not, but it kind of illustrates the point. A church can be divided even though it's assembling in the same building. I've been a part of a church like that. But the workers in the days of Nehemiah worked together with a sense of camaraderie. I went to Eastern High School in Pekin, Indiana, and our mascot was a musketeer. We were the Eastern Musketeers. And you remember the motto of the musketeers? All for one and one for all. That's the kind of spirit that the remnant had in the days of Nehemiah. And that's the kind of spirit that we need in the Lord's church today. We're all on the same team. We need that sense of camaraderie if spiritual Jerusalem is to be built up. We need that all for one and one for all kind of spirit. And the evangelistic work of a local church will be greatly hindered and perhaps even stopped dead in its tracks if that sense of camaraderie is absent. I think we have a sense of camaraderie here in this church. You remember the words of Jesus in Mark 3, verse 24 and 25, when he says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Well, finally, the walls of Jerusalem were built up because the workers had a mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 reads, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Many good works fail because some folks only pay lip service to the work, or they only offer a token effort to accomplish it. That wasn't the case in Nehemiah's day. They were willing to work and willing to keep working despite the difficulties of the task, despite the opposition from the enemies of God. And some were willing to do more than what was assigned. The fourth verse of Nehemiah chapter 3 tells us that Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. What's interesting to me is that the 21st verse of that same chapter says, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, repaired another section. He was willing to do more than what was expected. If the walls of spiritual Jerusalem are to be built up, we need people who have a mind to work. People who are willing to work and keep working despite the difficulties, despite opposition. Let me tell you, brethren, when God's people get busy doing God's work and spreading the gospel, they will experience opposition. Satan's not going to let that go. But the words of Paul to the Galatians should encourage us. He said in Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Paul ended the great resurrection chapter with these words in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There can be no winning without working. There's no triumph without trouble, no victory without vigilance, and no crown to wear without a cross to bear. The walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt because they had a leader like Nehemiah, and the people had a mind to work. If the walls of spiritual Jerusalem are built up today, it will be because we have leaders like Nehemiah and people with a mind to work. Let me conclude with the words that are recorded for us in Judges chapter 5 and verse 2. When the leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. How wonderful it is when leaders lead in Israel and the people willingly offer themselves. Well, are there changes that you need to make in your life? Maybe some changes in light of our study together from the book of Nehemiah. If so, then I urge you to make those changes. If there's sin in your life, I urge you to seek God's forgiveness in keeping with His will. And so, as is our custom, we offer the invitation of our Lord. If we can help anyone seek God's forgiveness, you have the opportunity to respond to the gospel right now as we stand and we sing.